quit. What is quit? Quit, or whitson, in the minds of us in Scotland, is an English thing. It's traditionally an English bank holiday, but by a quirk of the calendar this year, we are also able to enjoy a long, leisurely weekend. Well, some of us, anyway. Whit Sunday today is, of course, a religious festival. But the average man in the street would be hard put to explain its significance if asked. Christmas, well, yes, that's quite clear, and Easter Day, certainly. Harvest Thanksgiving, perhaps, but Whit? What's it all about? But never mind the man in the pew. Rather, the man in the street. What about the man in the pew? Never mind the man in the pew. What about the man in the pulpit? The minister in the pulpit. This minister, for example. Does he know why we have the word quit? Well, yes, he does. Now, after looking up his 20th century Chambers dictionary, which told him, of course, that quit is short for white. And on the seventh Sunday after Easter, converts in the ancient church wore white robes to commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So today on Whit Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, we recited or repeated together the words of that ancient Nicene Creed. And we said, we believe in the Holy Ghost. The word ghost, of course, way back in ancient times, did not mean something nasty or frightening. It meant quite literally the invisible entity, the invisible energy, the invisible spirit. And so we're really saying we believe in the Holy Spirit. But what do we mean when we say that? What do we actually believe? A great Christian writer, A.W. Tozer, made this comment. The idea of the Spirit held by the average church member is so vague as to be nearly non-existent. When he thinks of the matter at all, he's likely to imagine something like a wisp of invisible smoke which is said to be present in churches and hover over good people when they're dying. Belief in the Spirit is held far out from the center of life, making no difference in anything that touches him practically. This describes a surprisingly large number of earnest people who are sincerely trying to be Christians. We believe in the Holy Spirit, but what do we actually believe? It's a very vital question, you know, because as we look at what Jesus teaches in John chapter 14, I think we can see right away that the Holy Spirit is intended to make a very definite impression and difference to our lives. Very special difference. So consider with me for a short time the question, what is the Holy Spirit for? What is the Holy Spirit? And right away the observant among you will spot there the deliberate error, which is the framing of the question in the wrong way. It shouldn't be, what is the Holy Spirit? It should be, who is the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a he. We're not to think of the Holy Spirit in the way that we think of, for example, the Christmas spirit or team spirit. For the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a spirit person. Notice what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And then he goes on to use the personal pronoun in the next verse. What does he say?
The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. So Jesus instructs his friends that they should think of the Spirit as a he, not as an it. Well, I know sometimes we let it slip, and it is a Freudian slip, as we say, when we refer to the Spirit as it. But in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is said to hear, speak, witness, convince, glorify, lead, guide, teach, command, forbid, desire, groan. And only of a person could such things be said. He's a person. He's a spirit person. He's a divine person. The Holy Spirit, the word holy, reminds us or suggests to us the deity of God. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, God the Spirit. We're talking about God Almighty, who is worthy to be worshipped and adored. He's a person. He's a spirit person. He's a divine person. But notice the kind of person described here in verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another counselor. Now, the same word is used in verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And it's used again in chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And the same is used in chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage I go away, for if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. Now, your Bible translation in front of you may have a different word. It may be described as comforter, counselor, helper, advocate. And without wanting to sound like a walking dictionary, can I just point out that the Greek word that's used here is a very special word. It's the Greek word parakletos, which literally means paraclete. Well, what's a paraclete? Stay with me for this, because it's really very important. The paraclete literally is someone who's called alongside to help. Kletos, called para, alongside. And in particular, if in the ancient world you were unfortunate enough to be taken to court, perhaps for a driving offense, let's say that you were speeding with your chariot above the prescribed speed limit along a Roman road, and you're taken to court, well, the personal friend who's called alongside you to help you and to support you, to say a good word for you and give you a character reference, was the paraclete. Now, I have constantly to write character references for people, and I'm very happy to do that if I know them. And most of the people I know very well, but sometimes a letter comes on my desk with a person's name, and I'm asked for a reference for a man. I've never heard of the person's name, and it's, well, with the best will in the world, you really can't say a good word for somebody that you don't know. And the point about the paraclete was that the paraclete knew the person and knew him well and said a good word for him. And the Holy Spirit is sent and called alongside us, if we're believers in Jesus, and linked with us as Christian believers, not just to say a good word for us, but to actually help us in the Christian life. That's his purpose. Now, he doesn't do the job for us, that is, of living the Christian life, but he helps us to get the job done. The child in primary one class in the primary school learns to write the letters of the alphabet. How? Well, perhaps in various ways, but I imagine that the teacher is called alongside and comes alongside and puts her hand over his hand and shapes the writing of the letters. The child does the writing, but the teacher does the helping. That's the paraclete. And when the child leaves the school, when the bell rings for the end of the day's lessons, then the child meets perhaps another paraclete on the way home. Who's that?
Well, it's the lollipop man, because the child has to cross the road to get to the other side and to go home. And how does it work out? Well, the lollipop man often takes the hand of the child and guides the child over the road. The child does the crossing, but it's the paraclete who does the helping. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been called alongside us, sent by the Father to be with us, to help us in our faith, to help us in our Christian living. And we sure need help, don't we? Well, the Holy Spirit is the person who comes to do this work of the paraclete. But that's not all we learn about the paraclete here. There's something else. Notice what Jesus says. I will pray the Father and he'll give you another paraclete, counselor. Now, we have only one word in English translated another, and here I am sounding like a walking dictionary, but the Greeks had two words. And the word that's used here means another of the same kind. I've heard somebody give an illustration of the difference between these two words in this way. Let's imagine that you're in the garden, working in the garden, and you gash your finger and it bleeds profusely, and you take out a new white handkerchief that's been given to you and wrap it round the finger. But still the blood flows. It doesn't stem the wound. So you come into the kitchen and I say to you, hold on, I'll get you another handkerchief. And I go upstairs and come down and give you a blue handkerchief with white spots. Now, it is another handkerchief, but it's not another of the same kind. And that's not the Greek word that's used here by Jesus. If I had gone upstairs to a box of new white hankies that had been given to me as a Christmas present, oh joy, oh rapture, and I took out a white clean hanky and brought it down and said, there you are, there's another. That is the Greek word that's used here. Another of the same kind. Identical. Do you see what Jesus is saying? It's terribly important. He's going to leave his friends. It's his last evening on earth. He's going back to the Father. And he's just told them that he's the way to the Father. Nobody can get to the Father but by me, says Jesus. Chapter 14, verse 6, that famous verse, you all know it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But if Jesus is going away from them, how are they going to find the way or get to the way? Is he just going to leave them with a book and a pile of memories? And incidentally, that's the position that we would be in if nothing else were to be sent or given. Just a book and a host of memories. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to send you another paraclete of the same kind, another helper of the same kind, and he'll be with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is to be thought of as being identical with Jesus. Identical with Jesus Christ. Another of the same kind. So the Spirit is a person. A spirit person, a divine person. And we're to think of him as the Spirit person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Spirit person, Jesus and his Spirit person it is who comes to us and is with us to help us in our faith and Christian living. What or who is the Holy Spirit? That's what I've been trying to answer in these minutes. The first half of the question. The second half of the question, what's he for? Well, two things very quickly. First of all, he's there, and it follows on from what I've said, surely. He's there to make Jesus clearer. Verse 17, he's described the Spirit of Truth. And the same description is given in chapter 15, verse 26. even the Spirit of truth, whom I shall send you from the Father. What is the significance of that phrase? Well, it's this. The Holy Spirit points to the one who is the truth. And Jesus has just said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Holy Spirit's task is to make Jesus clearer, to show the truth as it is in Jesus. I've used this picture many times before, but I can't think of a better one to highlight this particular function of the Spirit, and that is to remind you of what a floodlight does. Floodlighting, when it's well done, doesn't draw attention to itself, obviously. You don't really notice the floodlights or see the floodlights. You see that which the floodlights are illuminating. Take our church building in the middle of the winter, and you turn into Main Street and come along, and you see on a dark winter's night not the floodlights, but you see the building with clarity. Now the Holy Spirit's function is to make Jesus clear to us. He, as it were, enters our hearts and lives, and is a bit like a torch being switched on, and he shows us Jesus Christ so that we know about him and learn about him and know him. He becomes real to us. That's the Holy Spirit's function in a nutshell, to make Jesus real to us, a real person, not somebody who's a distant deity or a figure of history, but somebody who's a real person whom we talk to and know and love and follow. He makes Jesus clearer. And secondly, he brings Jesus closer. Verse 17 again. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Think of that. It's pretty staggering, isn't it, when you think of it? God Almighty in you. Jesus Christ, Spirit person in you. Gosh, a walking cathedral. No wonder the hymn writer could write down, think what Spirit dwells within you. What a Father's love is thine. It almost blows your mind. It's mind-boggling. God inside you. This is the miracle, of course, of the new birth. This is New Testament Christianity. And the Holy Spirit as such brings a dynamic to Christian life. Power in action. That's what the Holy Spirit's about. Bringing Jesus' life closer to you. The arm of the windmill lies still when there's no wind blowing. The sail and board of the surfer is useless until the wind blows. But when the wind blows, the windmill starts working, the surfer starts surfing. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And the Hebrew word for spirit is wind or breath. So the Holy Spirit brings the breath of Jesus' life into our souls. That's the marvelous thing. He brings animation to life. He brings the dynamic of Jesus' life into our poor, frail lives. So what happens? Well, marvelously, he stirs up our sluggishness. He sharpens our insights. He soothes our troubled consciences. He sweetens our tempers, supports us under pressure, and he strengthens us for right living. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He brings Jesus' life closer to us and has this effect within us. So here it is. That's what he's for. To make Jesus clearer, to bring Jesus closer. So two questions as we close. The first one, not do you know the Holy Spirit, but obviously, do you know Jesus? Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your friend and your guide, someone to whom you entrust your day's life, someone in whom you confide and talk to. Do you know Jesus Christ? The second question, not do you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? That's the important question. Not just a part of you, but all of you, as you make yourself open to his control and influence. And in the end of the day, that means daily, with detail, making disciplined decisions of obedience to his ways and to his words. And if that's the case, then there is the great blessing of knowing the power of the Holy Spirit with us day by day. It's a bit like a friend who's invited to come and stay in your house. And he so captivates you by his friendship that he becomes one of the family. And you say to him, you can have the run of the house. Make use of all the rooms. Come and go as you please, but make yourself at home. And this friend who came to dwell fills the house with the loveliness of his presence. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do in our lives. So let's think of the Holy Spirit. Let's remember him. Let's relate to him. Let's keep in step with him. So that really and truly, in the days that follow this Whit Sunday, we can say from the depth of our hearts, we believe in the Holy Spirit. May God bless his word to us today. Let's pray. In the mystery of this great truth, we bow before you, O God, mysterious Godhead, three in one. And yet, some things are very clear. And what is clear is that you care for us in such a way that you're prepared to dwell inside our mortal bodies and save us from the inside and change us into the likeness of your wonderful character and so fit us for that day when we'll live with you forever. How we praise you for the marvelous ministry of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be excited about this and to have our horizons extended as we think of what he may do in hearts and lives that are surrendered to him. Hear us and answer, for we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.